on the Wednesday nights about obstacles to deliverance, or, you know, difficult that people have in getting a family member delivered. Difficulties that sometimes people have with their own deliverance. And I was caught by surprise because I thought this is going to be a one sermon stuff. And when I thought I finished, I go home, and in the early hours, the boss, by the way, I want you to add that to your list. Okay. So I got the scriptures, I got the main sentence, and it's on me to develop. One of the things that I have spoken on the past few weeks to you, I think the last 2 weeks, has been that in many instances, in many cases, people do not have the power to overcome Satan or to overcome sin or to overcome a disease or a curse. The number one thing was lack of spiritual discipline. The number two thing was lack of understanding of the different strength on the demonic realm. There are some demons that are more, that are stronger, put it this way, than others. Then I told you number three, that conditions many times are not met. Which conditions? Like forgiveness. If we have not forgiven someone that we're supposed to forgive, Matthew 18:35 says that God will allow the tormentor to come into our lives. What do you mean? As a child of the living God, we are called to be holy as He is holy, and to live holy. So one of the conditions that God has for us to live a full, victorious life is forgiveness. And when we that know the word choose not to forgive people, Matthew 18:35 says that we shall be delivered into the hands of the tormentors until we back off and forgive the person that we're supposed to forgive. Then we also told you that another condition that needs to be met is repentance. Some people will be passing, you know, how many of you have ever thought about that scripture in Matthew that says, on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, in your name we cast out demons, we prophesied, we did so many miracles. What happened? And the Lord says, and I will tell them, I know you not. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, doesn't it sound like a paradox? Somebody saying, well, what's going on here? I mean, I was in church. I cast out demons. I prophesied. I did many miracles, and now you're telling me you don't know me? What's going on here? The Lord said, away from me, ye evil doers. So what's, I didn't get yet. The power to heal, the power to do miracles, and to prophesy, if it's divine prophecy, comes from God, not from man. Because of the power in the name of Jesus, people can get healed and do miracles, not because of themselves, but because of the authority invested on the name of Jesus. But there are people doing that kind of stuff in church that have a secret life. And those are the ones that even run the risk of not making to heaven. Another condition that's supposed to be met is break away from things, from the occult. Y'all remember I spoke about that? Break away from this stuff, from the occult. Like what? Yoga books. Unfortunately, there are churches out there encouraging, taking time in their sanctuary for people to practice yoga. And one with smarty pants tell me, well, you don't know what yoga is, that's why you're saying that. Yes, I do. I used to work with Hindus, and the root of yoga is paganism. Some parts of Asia, the Buddhists practice yoga, and some other parts, the Hindus practice yoga, and they all have the same root on the same garbage. So some people finally got convinced, well, this is not for me, but they still keep that junk in their houses. What's the big deal? There is a big deal. So some people, when they did not know the Lord, they were members of fraternities, and they have books and literature that are junky. What's the problem with that? You're not supposed to have anything in your house that has divination, enchantment, witchcraft, Ouija board, and all that junk. You may say, I think you're pushing a little too far here. Well, let me say this. Brother Harry, it's not on your list. Just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, could you put up there Acts 19:19, please? Just to make sure that nobody here is going to go home thinking that I'm talking through my elbows. So, things from the occult that may be among our stuff, we should get rid of it. One beloved sister came to Christ, and she used to be Hindu. And when she got married, she became a slave. So they pinched her nose, and the husband gave a ear ring or earpiece, but it goes on the nose. And it was dedicated to one of the Hindu demons. So now that I'm in Christ, I take this junk off. Oh, but it has sentimental values. Then you choose between God and that junk. So what you're telling me that your God is not worth for you taking this junk that was dedicated to demon so-and-so? And finally, she couldn't lift up her head because things kept happening. She took it off, melted the gold, and life changed immediately. Listen to this here. I want you to read it with me. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them. It totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. We gotta break away with the junk from the occult that we once took part when we were not saved yet. Well, that doesn't say that. Okay, Brother Harry, put the New Living Translation there. Watch this. Same scripture, NLT. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was? Did I make my point? But let's make it, yes. Let's make it home. May I have the backslide of translation here? All kinds of witches and warlocks came out of the woodwork with their books of spell and incantation and made a huge bonfire of them. Someone estimated their worth at 50,000 silver coins, which at today's silver market, we're talking about somewhere around $10 to $12 million. So what you're saying? In order for us to have a successful life, in order to get family members delivered, if that kind of junk is among our stuff, get rid of them. Today, I want to talk about something that I never thought about this today. Never thought about this way rather, until the boss took me through some stuff this week. I argued, Lord, it don't make no sense. And then the Lord started talking to me this way. The Lord said, do you have a favorite child? I said, no. Good. But when you told one of your children to do something and they did, what did you do? I said, I complimented them, and in many instances, I rewarded them for doing what I told them to do. I said, good so. Now, when they did not do what you told them to do, what did you do? I said, I spanked them. And at some time, I got mad at them, and I didn't talk with them for an hour on purpose. And usually when I discipline them, sit down. And I don't want to look at your face. And don't get up until I tell you so. Why did you do that? I said, because I want them to understand how unsatisfied I was with their disobedience and rebelliousness. I guess you did that because you're bad. I said, no, it's the opposite. Come on, Lord. Come on now. It's the opposite. I'm looking for their well-being. Exactly. So it's still not making sense to me. The Lord said, I love my children so much that I'm jealous. When they do not give me the time that belongs to me. So what? Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm listening. Did I do that? Yes. I did. Yes. What do you mean I did that? And I'm not going to tell you what he said. Don't even try. So, well, I'm sorry. You're forgiven. We could avoid many bumps on the road and have a more successful life of deliverance and freedom if we would understand that we belong to someone called God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, our big brother, and the Holy Ghost, the one that is inside us all the time. Are we still together? When we fail to devote to God the love, the attention that is due to Him, that kind of make Him very disappointed. And when God gets disappointed with us, and He just moves His face away, then you see hardship kicking in. And the reason that God would do that is because He is a jealous God. You get that? Yes. He is a jealous God. He does not like to share His spot with anybody. And this is why I tell you, when you come to church, turn off your phone. Or put it on airplane mode. Or on vibe mode. Because this is God's time. You got a whole day for you. But once you walk through that door, that's God's time. And I said, so you want me to tell this to the people? Yes. Most of my time has been devoted and offered to other gods. Really? He said, you've been talking about it. I said, that's right. 30 inches, 37 inches, 42, that's correct. And there's some more. I said, oh my. So the Lord said, I want you to concentrate today in showing the people what happens when they get jealous. Brother Harry, may I please have Genesis 35, 2. Read it with me. Genesis 35, 2. I thought it was in the list. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him,
Put
put away the foreign gods. Mind you, this is the father of the nation of Israel. The one with whom God had the covenant. Are we together here? These people supposed to know God. And yet they had foreign gods. Jacob said, put it away. Not only that, purify yourselves, take a shower, and change your clothes. Now listen to verse 4. Listen to verse 4 on the same chapter. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands. Why is it that they mention rings here? Earrings, right? Earrings. Why does he mention that? There are people out there today with earrings with a little image of Buddha. Some of them are out there with a dead Jesus. My Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's sitting down at the right hand of God. So what you're trying to say? If we want to overcome hindrances, obstacles, and have a successful deliverance life, put away the foreign gods. And everything related to those gods. In the case of this Hindu sister, when they get married, they pinch her nose, she put a earring on the nose, and then they put a red dot in their forehead. That's to tell this is taken. That's a yoke. God said, put it away. Get rid of it. Why would he do that? For a very simple reason. God is a jealous God. And any time that we devote too much time for something else other than God, there's judgment on the way. So you may say, well, so you're saying that I cannot go to work because I have to be in the presence of God? Don't be ridiculous. God is the one who instituted work. He told the king, now you're going to sweat and you're going to earn your bread from the sweat of your face. God instituted work. But once work is over, and instead of God having his time, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or the other God, the other foreign God, you know, 47 inches or 43 inches or 60 inches, whatever size you have it at home. If you give it 2 hours, but you don't have 2 hours and 10 minutes for Jesus, there is a problem here. Jesus said, nobody can serve two gods. You're going to love one and hate the other. Is that right? You're going to devote more time to one and despise the other. You may say, man, come on, man. This is ridiculous. I mean, I don't worship TV. Nobody said that you do. Because it became already God. If God cannot have half of your TV time plus 5 minutes, then you've got another God. Plain and simple. The things that you like most is the thing that you devote more time with. Can I have an amen here? Amen. When you were dating and you found that cutie thing, you want to tell me that you spend more time with your parents than you spend with that cutie pie? I'll call you a liar right now. The things that you like most is the thing that you spend more time with. In the book of Exodus 20:13, we find these following words. Read it with me. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. This is how jealous God is. God does not want us to be mentioning the name of other gods. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Should not even be in our lips, he says here. Not only mention the name, they should not be in our mouth. This is why I don't call that low life, punk, useless piece of garbage, good for nothing. I don't call his name. It's not supposed to be in my mouth. So when I refer to him, it's a useless piece of garbage, good for nothing, low life, punk. So everybody knows who I'm talking about. But his name shall never be in my lips. There's no business to be in my lips. Are you with me here? Watch this. Brother Harry, may I have the same scripture on the backslider, on message translation? Listen carefully to everything I tell you. Don't pay attention to other gods. Don't so much as mention their name. Does it explain why God's such a jealous God? So why would we be provoking our God? Same book of Exodus 23:24, 11 verse down the road. Listen to this. You shall not bow down to their gods. Is that right? Nor serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. I will not bow down to anybody but my God.
Amen.
I would have a hard time living in a country, whether it's a king or a queen. Because they say that whatever country, I don't know because I never live in one. But they say that if there's a king or a queen, and when they come by, you have to, right?
Respect.
I would be locked up day in and day out. I'm not going to bow down for you. I bow down for one only, the God of heavens, the God of Israel. Then when you go to Exodus 23:32, few verses down the road, you shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Are you getting the point here? God is basically saying, get your act together. I don't want you involved with foreign gods. Let me tell you here, a disease very common in many nations. When we were living among the Hindu people and preaching to among the Hindu people, once a year they change the flags in front of their house. They have a little shrine with the image of whoever god they worship. So when those flags are all fading away in color, they get new bamboos, get new flags, and on the day that they change that flag, the whole community is invited to come in.
Red collar.
The whole community is invited to come in to celebrate with them. And then they cook. And there is lots and lots of food. The majority of the people will come only after the flags has been put down, so everybody can eat. Our neighbors used to get upset with me and with my wife. No, we will not go. That I'm not coming to your meeting. That's all right. But if you get cancer, you'll come and we'll pray for you. That's all. Oh, this is harsh. No, it is not. It is telling here that I should make no covenant. Are you with me here? So if their food has been dedicated to their God because they're exchanging the flag, I cannot be there eating their food. Watch this. Brother Harry, give me the backslider translation here and then the NLT. Watch this. Don't make any deals with them or their gods. Now listen to the New Living Translation. Make no treaties with them or their gods. So there is no way I can be there. Are you with me here? And yet today, Christians will go to things like this. I have a very, 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 very good friend that is from the days of Christmas, when the baby, the little baby, christening, right? Whatever that is, I don't know what that is. And they want me to come. I said, no, I'm not coming. Come on, Paul, it's a baby. I said, yes, but there's a big image of Mary on the background. She was the mother of Jesus. I said, not that thing over there. Not that thing over there. That is a carved image. And the man stopped talking to me. And he's a bishop. I said, dude, I'm sorry. It's clear on the book. I'm not going to eat your food. You want me to eat? Invite me any other day there is no christening. And I will come. I'll take you anywhere else. And there will be no christening. There will be no image. There will be nothing. It is just a child dedication. I said, I disagree with it. And you have that guy coming in like a zombie with a big cross. No! And many of us are weakened in our faith because we don't have guts to say no to this nonsense. Let me show you something more. Watch this. Brother Harry, can you put up there Exodus 32:8? Why wouldn't you do this? Because stuff like this can cause you to backslide. And this is why God is jealous. Read it with me. They have... The problem when we have something else that you have to look for, you no longer base your concentration on the God of gods. The picture that will be in your mind will be the picture of that piece of garb that has been just carved. Are you with me here? And this is when people backslide. And it gets worse. How many of you have seen, and I know that I'm going to step in some toes here, I just want you to listen. My boss said, I want you to preach. Don't omit this. And some people are going to throw a stone on you, but I got you back. How many of you here have heard about a nice friend, Christian friend, Holy Ghost filled, and the person died. And then 60 days later, there is a memorial service for that person. And we all go and talk how nice that person was. And all this thing, and then after that we're going to eat. Is it only me that get this kind of invitation? Anybody here does get that invitation? What's wrong with that? If you want to honor the dude, honor while they're alive, not after they're dead. When the person is already gone and you want to honor that person, that is called idolatry. And I know some will not disagree. And that's all right. We will agree if you don't agree that we're going to disagree. And I don't want to go there now because if I go, it's going to take me half an hour. But I can prove to you that any time that somebody goes to a memorial service, you are breaking one of God's commandments. Everybody does it. Yes, I know. So what? Does it make it right? Exodus 34:15. Call the presence, the allegiance, the involvement with other God, prostitution, spiritual prostitution. Read it with me. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you. Did I make my point? This is why I will not go to it in no dedication for any other, whatever that is. No, you're not going to get me. Because my God is very jealous. He even said in Leviticus 19:4 that I should not turn back to that kind of stuff. Leviticus 19:4. Do not turn to idols. No, make for yourself molded gods. I am the Lord, your God. Sorry, God is jealous. Did you know that there are 235 scriptures on the Bible speaking about this very theme? 235 verses, 254 mentions about this topic. God don't want us to turn to other gods because He is a jealous God. And when we do turn, we can backslide. It will weaken our faith. Folks, Deuteronomy 5:7 tells us that the order is clear. Watch this. You shall have no other gods before me. It's clear. Crystal clear. Why? God got jealous. Can you imagine if you are a married person and then you have to share your spouse with somebody else? And you get your spouse only 2 hours a week? Does that sound good? Hi, honey. Hi. Welcome home. Then 2 hours later, bye, honey. I'll see you next week. Are you with me here? I'll say I'd rather be alone. The word is clear. You shall not have any other gods. Let me go a little quicker here. When we get involved in this nonsense, it will become a snare for us. Deuteronomy 7:16 says the following. Read it with me. Also, you shall destroy all the peoples who the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them. Nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. Let me tell you something here. It will sound stupid. But the testimony I have got from people that got delivered from that stuff is that the foods that are cooked on the dedication of pagan gods and on memorial service are one, if not the most delicious food. Somehow, there's some taste on that stuff that people become addicted to that kind of garbage. You know, we learn to like roti, which is a kind of soft taco, big one. I don't eat any bird, but they don't eat cow because it's their god. So I used to joke. No, if you're serious about this thing, I'm going to bring the beef. And you're going to cook that beef the same way you cook that chicken. I don't expect you to eat, which will be nice. But if you don't, I will. And some took courage. Okay, we brought the beef. And when they cook in the same way, and I'm just savoring, they're looking at me. They never ate cow before. And when they look at the person, huh. You know, they're looking at me. I said, you have no idea. Your God is delicious. When we get involved in that kind of stuff, it might become a snare. So folks, you may be wondering now, okay, preacher, I got the point. So what is it that you're trying to prove here? God is a jealous God. And if we want to maintain a firm faith, an ability to deliver, to pray for deliverance, and get results, we have to make sure that these conditions are met. And one of them is give to God what belongs to God. Because He is a jealous God. Are you with me here? You remember that one, that idiot was debating Jesus in front of the Roman guy? I call him an idiot because he was not a Jew. And he became a high priest because he bribed the Romans and gave a lot of money, Caiaphas, to become the high priest on the days of Jesus. So they couldn't overpower Jesus. So what does he do? Whole gang is in the temple. The Roman guy is there, said, you have a coin? And the captain of the Roman Empire, hand him a coin. Before that, the high priest asked Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Caesar. You remember that, right? Jesus said, anybody has a coin? The Roman guy took the coin and handed it to him. Whose face is in this coin here? They screamed, Caesar. Jesus said, give Caesar what is Caesar's and give God what is God's. One of the conditions for us to maintain a life of victory, success, especially when we are praying for family members, for deliverance, for salvation, and even for our own miracles, let's make sure that these conditions are met. God will be proud of you. And watch out for the blessings to start to flow. I want to finish next week. There's one more condition that I wish to do, but it's already late. And next week I'm going to show you that another condition that we need to have to be delivered is people need to be willing to be delivered. Then we have to take care of passivity. Another hindrance for deliverance that weaken our faith are the unteachable Christians. Then there's another one called control freak Christians. Then there's the self-deception Christian. And there's another one called the unwise Christian that do not understand how Satan's kingdom functions. We're going to cover all this next week. So for tonight, your God is a jealous God. And He's not jealous like the ladies are here. Or the guys are here. Human jealousy is more a result of insecurity. Are you together? Human jealousy is more a result of insecurity. You're afraid that your spouse is going to walk on you. You know, one day I married Sister Marcia. I said something very simple, and I stuck to my guns until this day. You're going to go somewhere? I don't mind where you go. There are three conditions. I need to know where you're going, with whom you are going, to do what and what time you're back home. And the beginning says, why? He said, because if I want you, I know where to find you. As long this trust is not broken, I'm going to go to the mall in Clarksville. Is that a mall in Clarksville? Yeah, all right. I'm leaving, I'll be back at 11. And, by the way, what's his name? Clarksburg. And whatever. I'm going with Sister Sue. That's fine. All I need to hear. I am not jealous, not because I don't like my wife. No, it's not this. Human jealousy is a result of insecurity. And I always thought, if my wife would ever leave me for another guy, she doesn't know what she's missing, such a guy like me. There's no reason to be jealous. But the majority of us are jealous because of insecurity. In the case of God, God's jealousy is not a result of insecurity. Rather, it's a result of zeal and love. Because God knows that when you and I turn our back to Him for a little while, the devourer, the thief, the punk will come to kill, steal your joy and destroy you completely. And out of love, God is jealous. You know, I have guests in the house right now and they want to watch a little bit of American TV. I felt like I want to vomit just by standing for 10 minutes. All the shenanigans that is going on. And I'm thinking, how could a human being spend 2 hours every day listening to this garbage? We have a secular country. End of story. We have a corrupt government. So instead of spending 2 hours watching all that nonsense, turn on Bible.is. You know, I was saying yesterday morning, this year alone, I've been through the book of Mark 4 times. Mark has become one of my favorite books. One of my favorite books, I'm calling now the Book of Deliverance. If you listen to Mark, it's all about deliverance. There's more deliverance in the book of Mark than any other book on the New Testament. And it's awesome. I'd rather be hearing the word of God than all that junk going on. You know what I mean?
Is that Bible?
I-S. Yes, like I, the India, S as a Santos, Bible.is. You download this free. I have it on Wi-Fi and it plays the whole night. You can go through the New Testament in 10 days. And I don't have it on 10 because I wouldn't sleep. Not even 5. But if I put it on 3, I can hear. So I have it in 3 3/4. And it's good enough that I can sleep, and while I'm sleeping, I am hearing the word, and it's almost like I'm there in the Bible land. It's awesome. God is a jealous God. And God is jealous of you because He loves you. God is jealous of you because He cares about you. God is jealous of you because He knows that when you got involved in the junk out there, you can hurt yourself. And God doesn't want you to be hurt. Nor hurting. Let's give God all the time that He deserves. God bless you.